Speaking of young people, Kyla Hayes was one of a number of individuals from Indianapolis that went down to Ferguson. I believe it was over the weekend, maybe a little earlier, and Kyla is on our live line. Kyla, how you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
I am just fine. First of all, why did you go down? Why did you and the others go down to Ferguson?
Because we thought we should show support more than just retweeting, reblogging, Instagram and Facebook. We felt like we had to get down there and actually show the residents of Ferguson that we supported them.
How would you, I mean, all people have seen of Ferguson are images on TV, images on social media. You know, I've pulled up a map to try to get a sense of what this community is like. You've been there on the ground. How would you describe this town of Ferguson?
It's a small town. The people are really nice. They aren't like the news portrays them to be. They're really nice. They, while we were down there, they offered us free food, free water, just anything we would probably need, they would have given us. They're really nice people.
I understand a lot of the housing in Ferguson are single family homes, so it's like you're out in Pike Township or Washington Township or places around here.
Right.
So when you went down there, were you part of any of the peaceful protests? Did you see any of the folks throwing rocks and Molotov cocktails? And how did law enforcement behave?
When we first got down there, it was pretty peaceful. Everyone was just conversing with each other and standing around. And by the time the sun began to go down, that's when the police came out, really. They came out in their full riot gear, the shields, the batons, the helmets, everything. And that's kind of when the mood of the protest kind of changed. I didn't see anyone throwing bricks or anything like that, but you could tell there was added tension in the air.
Did you, at any time, did you feel not safe? As you were standing there, at any time was it like, uh-oh, I think we better leave?
I would say more so when we were about to leave, that's when all the police were out. And they were kind of standing by my car, and I'm like, I really don't want to go in my car right now because I could just get arrested for going in my car.
When you talk to people in Ferguson, what kind of sense did you get of how bad the relationship in that city is between the people of Ferguson and their police department?
I found out they've always kind of had a stressed relationship. There's always been issues with the police force, people getting pulled over for random reasons and then having to go to court to pay the tickets off and still have to pay court fees and all that. So the relationship it could be way better.
There are people that are listening that, you know, all they know about it is what they're getting from the media, and they probably kind of know they're not getting the whole story. Are there things about what you saw and heard that you feel people here in Indianapolis haven't got, don't understand? If so, what would that be?
That people who are causing all the trouble at night aren't the people from Ferguson. From what I've seen on Twitter and from the residents that I follow that live in Ferguson, it's like 93% of the people that are getting arrested at night aren't from Ferguson.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that are trying to stop the violence and defend the stores are from Ferguson. They have to live there. They have to be the one that doesn't have the stores or the gas stations that they have. They don't want all that violence. They just want to protest peacefully. And it's just random people that come from out of town. For example, there are people from California causing the trouble.
From California?
Right.
They need to go back to California and cause trouble.
Right.
Jamal Smith is head of our Civil Rights Commission. He happens to be here in the studio listening. You want to add anything and ask Sister Kyla Hayes a question?
Well, I'd be interested to know what the what was the demographic makeup of the folks out there protesting? I mean, did you have a really good spread of black folks, white folks, Latinos?
Of course, there were a lot of black folks, and then I was surprised by the amount of white people. Actually, there were more white people than I expected there to be, and white people were angry, like angry. They had worse signs than black people did.
You mean they're more angry at why are the black people demonstrating?
No, they're angry at the fact that he was killed and that the police were stepping on people's rights and journalists' rights and things like that.
So that's something that's not coming out in the media. They're only seeing black faces protesting and they're not seeing that it's more diverse?
Right.
Yeah, I've actually heard that from a few different accounts.
Because
in the news, all you know, it's a black and white piece, and obviously white folks are the police officers and black folks are protesting. But from what I gather, there's actually a more diverse crowd there in support.
Was it a lot of people your age as protesters?
Yes, that surprised me. Another thing that surprised me, there were my age, I'm 23, and then there were people younger than me. And then people brought their kids, and they were hanging out, holding signs by the road, which surprised me. And then there was a, like a drill step group performing, and they were had to be in high school. So yeah, I was surprised.
Are most, I'm looking right now at a Google map of, Ferguson that's kind of got the city limits outlined. Are most of the protests occurring down by the shopping center? I guess there's a big shopping center right on the border of Ferguson, and that's where the McDonald's is. Is that where the protests are occurring?
When I was there, that's where they were. They were in front of the QuickTime and the McDonald's, but now the, I don't want to say city officials, but they have blocked off the QT, which is what the residents call it, the QT where everyone was protesting. So now you can't even do that. And you can't stand around and protest. You have to keep it moving or you get arrested for failure to disperse.
One of the things I didn't realize till I pulled up this map, there's a community college right on the northern end of Ferguson, right off the beltway, right off the interstate.
Right.
They got a, did you see that when you were coming in?
I think I just saw the high school.
Okay, they got a big community, not as big as IUPUI, but it looks like it's as big as Ivy Tech downtown.
It's a lot of students that were there.
Well, I would say if you got a community college hanging there, there would be a lot of students. And the other thing I didn't realize, how close Ferguson is to the airport in St. Louis. It looks like it's just a couple miles from the main airport down there.
Right, which is surprising. That all this will happen so close to you.
This explains why all the network anchors showed up. All they got to do is land at the airport. It is, I mean, I'm looking at the map. It's literally, it looks like a 10-minute limo drive.
Yeah, minimum. Or a max, I should say.
Was there anything there in your experience at Ferguson that gives you hope?
Just the residents.
Really? Okay.
They're sticking together. They're supporting one another. They've set up shop to where people who get sprayed with tear gas can come and get relieved of the pain. And there's a place where people are able to strategize how to protect their community and things like that. So the residents give me hope, I should say, not the police.
Did you experience any of the tear gas? I've never experienced it in my life, but I say that I'm told that is a smell that you don't forget.
No, I haven't. We left before everything happened on Saturday, but another group that went with us, they stayed past the curfew, and they actually got sprayed with the tear gas.
How are the businesses there? I mean, I know when they did the rioting, are the businesses still standing? Are they still functioning, completely closed down, tore up? I mean, what's it look like from the community standpoint?
There were a few businesses still open. I actually used the restroom in one of them. I didn't know if she would let me even in the door. But she welcomed me in and she told me about how her store was looted. But she knew it wasn't people from the community because everybody loves her and she's been in the community for a long time. Businesses were still running, but they still had the wood on the windows.
Which is an even sadder piece because if you think about it, you know, those folks are coming in, they're tearing up the community there, and they don't even live there.
Exactly.
I know when you came back home, you've been on television, you're on another radio station where they kind of dogged you out and people have responded to your Facebook page. How are you dealing with the negative comments that are coming from people here at home?
The negative comments come with it. I mean, it's mostly people who don't understand or in denial about things that happen in the world. They think that just everything is like peachy keen and it's not. And I'm trying to get that to people need to know. That's why I keep doing so many interviews. Like, everybody needs to know. Some people just won't get it, and that's just like my parents said, you can't educate everybody.
Kyla, would you go back?
Yes, I want to go back ASAP.
Really?
Yes, my parents, my mom is like, you need to stay here. You just need to stay here. Do something here. I'm like, not the same.
How would you answer? There are probably people listening to us that say, okay, Kyla, that was great that you and your peers and your friends went down to Ferguson, but how come young people, how come social media isn't upset every time somebody African-American gets killed up here in Indianapolis in a black-on-black thing? You know, how come, how would you answer that?
Honestly, I'm sick to death of hearing about black-on-black crime because, honestly, if you think about it, crimes happen around people who are together. Like, for example, black people live in one neighborhood, white people live in one neighborhood. So, of course, they're going to kill each other. They're not going to go, for example, Carmel to kill somebody. So, I mean, that's a whole different can of worms, in my opinion.
It's a practical approach.
Well, Kyla, first of all, I want to thank the listener of this program that pulled my coat this morning to you and got us connected. And we wanted to give you the opportunity to have our listeners hear about Ferguson from the eyes of a sister. and the eyes from somebody from the bosom of our community, because again, all we see is the filter of the national media. And you're somebody, you know, here from Indiana, went down there on, how many folks went with you?
900 people.
9 other folk.
Right.
You know, I always tell younger people, kids in elementary school, kids in high school, it was people your age and a little younger that were on the front lines of the civil rights movement in this country, the front lines of the anti-war movement in this country, even the front lines of giving women the right to vote in this country. And, you know, when young people get their act together, you know, stuff changes in America. Even the founding fathers were mostly young.
Right.
You know, they had money, but they were mostly except
for T. Newton said that the revolution is always passed to the younger generation, so I believe it now.
That's an interesting lesson learned. Kyla Hayes, it's an honor and privilege to have you on the program. And if you got, if you guys, you know, go back, you now know how to find us, let us know.
Okay.
And so we can find out what's going on in Ferguson. Thank you very much for being here.
Thanks, Kyla.
Thank you for calling.